Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Okay. We've been studying a lot on character formation, but we're going to kind of deviate from that path for this morning's edition of Word Made Flesh and kind of look at a scripture that is pretty familiar to all of us. Just to kind of speak about, we're coming into the season of fall, and we know winter is right around the corner, and we may experience our bodies feeling a little drained. So the whole concept of rest is really the theme that we want to look at. And so from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 28, Jesus shares an invitation with his listeners about entering his rest. Now, it's not necessarily winter hibernation we may be anticipating, but nonetheless, I think it's crucial, particularly as we're working on character formation, that we are cognitive, that we're aware of our of this invitation in order to enter his rest. So, Josh, you want to go ahead and read that scripture for us, and then we'll take it from there.
All right. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Okay. Thoughts, comments, questions?
This is, like you said, it's an invitation. It says, come. Jesus is inviting us in. I just, thinking about, the labor I was doing before, like my labor, or just running around, that lifestyle I lived was just very, very tiresome, and never really satisfied or fulfilled, like, meaning in life, I guess. And this invitation, I see Jesus, come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, which I believe you taught us that it's like his teaching, like a rabbi's teaching. So take my teaching upon you and learn from me. Learn from how I'm living, I guess. This is how you become genuinely human, authentically human. So, I don't know, I'm just trying to... Good stuff. This is something, the scripture I've been wrestling with. And I know there's something in here.
Listening to Josh speak about the yoke and possibly being intended as the teaching of Jesus. So if they're burdened, is he implying that the current religious system is a burden to them, and that's what's the problem here? And Jesus is saying, stop doing it that way, try this way, and it will give you rest. Stop trying to follow all these regulations and rules. And then, Jesus will teach love, God, love neighbor, love self.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, he's referencing some wisdom tradition out of the ancient Israelite development. For Matthew, Jesus is somewhat of a sage, so this is a wisdom personified. And you're right, Josh, when we talk about a yoke, we're talking about a particular rabbi's interpretation of that tradition. If you're burdened, then we are talking about maybe like Torah. I mean, it could be the Mosaic law. It could be the legalism of the Pharisees. And we would call it, it can be pretty burdensome to manage our sin. Sin management can be. Kind of a new way of talking about legalism. And that can be a lot of work. And so he's not asking us to avoid work. But right on there is, take upon my yoke. Use my team, learn from me. Right? Hear what I have to say. For I'm gentle and things like that. How do you think that brings you rest?
I don't know.
For me, is he just saying that rest is the, I don't want to say retreat or the movement away from all the stresses that these types of demands have on us?
No, live how you were meant to live. Like that's, I think people go around all the time, looking for meaning and purpose, in life. And here it is. Like this is how it's done. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say there, John?
I know my way took a lot of energy, a lot of time, all my efforts. And now that I look at God's way, Jesus' way, it still works, but it's so much easier to follow than my old ways of life, trying to do everything on my own. Now I have teachings, I have God through Jesus, and it simplifies my life. I like doing it. It's nothing that I have to do, but I want what he has. So for me, it's less of a burden in everything I do. My old way just wasn't working, and that's why I'm here today. And God's way, even though it takes some work, some time to get to know him, to understand him, to love him, and that it flows through me to help other people now today, which is a good feeling. And it's a lot less work any way I do it than my old way of life.
So he's extended the invitation. It's almost as if he's... We've all had birthdays and Christmas, and somebody sticks out their arms and hands you a little box that's wrapped with wrapping paper. Right, they're offering you a gift. Now, you're just going to leave them hanging? And if you take the gift, along with that come certain responsibilities. Right, he's accepting the gift. And then he says, take my yoke, take my perspective, take my take on this this whole way of living. All right, learn from me. And this is a continuation of the invitation to come follow me, come be with me. Let's be community in the midst of presence with one another. We seem to learn some things. Right. I am gentle and humble of heart. Now, remember we said earlier, part of what Jesus' primary objective is to cure the deceitful heart. How humble and gentle of heart would you say you are? All of us.
All of us? it's an ever-changing thing for me. I like to think I'm getting better at all avenues of life right now. Learning to love somebody else for a change. Learning to love God. That was a big step for me. The only one I really loved was myself. So I'm learning slowly that love thy neighbor, love God with all my heart, soul, and might. And treat somebody else as I'd like to be treated today, which is a total different concept than the way I used to treat people, because it was always about me. Selfish, self-centered, egotistical, and today I don't have to be like that. The journey's going to last me the rest of my life trying to get closer to God, but I just do that on a daily basis, so it keeps it pretty simple.
Okay. Expound on that. How has that transformation birth a reality of restfulness in your life?
Oh, I have peace of mind, which is a big thing. I don't have the worries or fears that I used to have. I know God's got my back, and I will be taken care of. I'm going to be going through trials and tribulations. I know this. Not every day is going to be a bed of roses or anything like that, but through Him I have the strength to walk through anything because I have that partnership, a completeness with Him inside me that I don't have to be scared of. I can go do it, walk through it, and see the joy in every part of it. Gratitude that I have for finding Him and Him wanting me.
Was there something you were going to say?
Yeah, I was thinking of the humility when the saying is, you know, when you come to the realization that there is a God and I'm not it, that, you know, God's in control. Ultimately, I can't do everything. I don't have to do everything. I'm not that, think so much of myself that I think I'm going to control all situations and all things. You know, I play a part in things as the Spirit moves through me. But yeah, ultimately, it's the Spirit and God moving through me, and God's the one in control. And it's this what was it, I say, this ruthless trust in God that everything's going to be all right, and that He's got it, and just play my part. But I'm a gentleman, and that's what I think about the humility. And, you know, it's the releasing of your power that you have to control things or be in control, and that's liberating. Because now you're like, well, you know, yeah, I'm going to do these things, but ultimately, I don't have to worry about whether they necessarily succeed or don't succeed, but just do them and trust that God will see in the end that His will be done.
Yeah, and I think He's saying, you know, you'll find rest for your souls if you come back that the aim, the intent, the direction in which we pursue God is for the purpose of, as John would say, knowing God.
Yeah.
Right? The sage tradition that Matthew's using here, I mean, he really puts on Jesus' lips a scripture that comes from Sirach, which isn't always in every Bible, but nonetheless, it's part of the Jewish wisdom tradition. Being a sage, well, then you better be spitting some wisdom. and he's really extending that invitation to say that this is the Torah, or the Mosaic Law, or all these... the legalism of the Pharisees, these traditions, they may express some of God, the journey, or express how we journey toward knowing God. But here's a fuller interpretation, yoke, of what it takes to really come to know God. And would you say that if we're in a position to where we know God, we might rest? And that's part of what the Decalogue, when it says, you know, when we speak about Sabbath, is entering this rest, is entering in this relationship with God at such a level that we are at peace. Mm-hmm. And at peace comes from the realization that, you know what, I'm actually being what God intended me to be. As Josh was saying, we become truly human.
And I would say also the realization that you're beloved by God, you and God are okay. You know, because the Torah is a gift of how to have a relationship, communal relationship, and Jesus will further interpret and so how to have proper relationships with God and with your community, and, you know, and that is a gift. If you get along well with the community and you get along well with your God, you're going to have peace.
Absolutely,
you're going to have rest.
Yeah, we saw that. I mean, Jesus says, "Look at the law summed up this: love God, love neighbor."
Yeah,
and that's from the that Torah tradition. So. Closing thoughts, comments, questions, anybody?
It works if you work it. God is always there. Thank God for that.
I can say it works because it's worked in my life to know that God loves me, to trust God, and to take on Jesus' yoke, and to be at peace and to have rest, and not be all like before, all stressed out, scatterbrained, running around, trying to control everything, worried and stressed, and just say, it's okay, Torres. You're all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he does come and he says, I didn't come to abolish the law. You know, I came to properly interpret in its fullness. So this is not an abolishment of what preceded him, but it is a fuller, deeper expression of what that is. All right, gentlemen, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019. Until next week, may God's grace and peace be yours.